Well, it is indeed an honor and a privilege to be invited to present God's Word this morning. And I always enjoy the opportunity to preach when I have that opportunity. I don't know if the listeners do or not, but I enjoy it. And I pray that God will use it to benefit us all. I remember on one occasion I was listed as a special speaker, introduced as a special speaker. And when I began, I said, well, not sure if it'll be good, but it'll be special, that's for sure. So I'll be a special speaker this morning for us while Brother Dallas is out. We are praying for his safe return to us as they are vacationing out in California, I believe is where they're vacationing. And so we look forward to his return. Well, this morning I'd like to present a message titled, Why Christmas Matters. Why Christmas Matters. It is the Christmas season. And we have been singing the Christmas songs and in church, out of church possibly. There's all the Christmas celebrations in church, out of church, with family, with friends. And it's a very festive season. We all enjoy the Christmas season. But it always begs the question, why does Christmas matter? Is it just a time of year to have a good time, or is there something more important involved? And I would say the latter. There is something much more important involved, and I would like to speak to you this morning about why Christmas matters. It matters because it is the celebration of Jesus' birth. And as we're going to discover, Jesus was not just an ordinary person born on an ordinary day. He was much, much more than that, and is much, much more than that, and it is important for us today. We'll find the answer to this, why is Jesus' birth important, in the book of Matthew in chapter 1. So if you would turn with me there in your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. Now, of course, the book of Matthew was penned by Matthew, one of the disciples of Jesus, and here he is listing for us the account of Jesus' birth. I'm sure that he had, in his conversations with Jesus, he had heard some of these things and possibly conversations with Jesus' mother and other relatives that he would have had contact with. And so he knew very well the circumstances of Jesus' birth. And so here he tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how that came to be. And he also tells us some things about why that is important for us even today. And so here's what Matthew had to say about the birth of Jesus. He said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Indeed, a remarkable birth, one unlike any other the world has ever known or will ever know, with much, much meaning for us today. In the passage, we find three reasons why Jesus' birth is important. First, Jesus' birth is important because Jesus is God. Does that surprise you to hear that? It shouldn't. It is all throughout the Scripture. God became a man, and his name is Jesus. That's the Christmas story. That is why it is important. It's not just a fairy tale. It really happened. God took on human flesh and became a human being. and his name is Jesus. Look here in the passage in verse 20. It talks about his divine conception. It says in verse 20 there, this is the angel talking to Joseph. Now, a little background here. The angel had to have a conversation with Joseph because this was a sticky situation. Joseph was engaged to Mary. And at that time, the engagement was just as binding as a marriage was. And so when he discovered that she was pregnant and it was not from him, that was trouble. And it was even more trouble than it would be nowadays, because the law of that day said that if someone was unfaithful, they could be taken out to the town square and stoned to death for that. So it was a very serious thing. It was a life and death matter. But it also says that Joseph, even though he was a just man, he also did not want to make a public example of her. He loved her. He didn't want to drag her out in the public square and have her stoned to death. So he had made up his mind that he was going to do this secretly. And it would be kind of under the rug, out of the radar of everybody. She wouldn't have to be stoned or any of that, and it would just be done. And while he was thinking about all this, the angel came to him and said, "Wait a minute, Joseph." This is my translation. "Wait a minute. Don't do that. Don't be afraid to go ahead and marry her, because this that has happened to her, this is not something wicked that has happened to her. This is actually from the Holy Spirit that this has happened." So we see his divine conception. It says, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Right off the bat, not an ordinary person, not an ordinary man, conceived of the Holy Spirit. He had a divine conception. Jesus is divine. He also had a virgin birth, verse 23. We see that, where Matthew, quoting the prophet Isaiah, says that basically he's telling us that Jesus fulfilled this prophecy by Isaiah, which said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Jesus was not conceived in sin. Jesus is holy. From his conception on, no sin was found in him whatsoever. Spotless, clean. That's Jesus. It goes further in verse 23 also. In that passage, it says they will call his name Emmanuel. That's significant. Today, people are named, and maybe the name has meaning, or maybe it's just a name people like. But back then, when a name was given, the name meant something about that person. It was a label that labeled that person, that said something about who they are. And the name here, Emmanuel, Matthew translates, for those of us who do not know Hebrew, it says Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's what the name means. So here was Jesus being born, this person who is God with us. Amazing. God came to be with us. That's why Christmas is important. God himself put on flesh and became a man. Now, there are some in our day that will argue that Jesus never claimed to be divine, but let me give you three quotes from Jesus himself about this very subject. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 57, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." In saying that, he was saying that he was eternal, because he existed before Abraham did. And he was also saying that he is the I Am, which is the name God gave Moses for himself on Mount Sinai. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Very clear. No question about what Jesus meant in those statements. Jesus is God come to us. I'd say that's very significant, wouldn't you? And it's significant because we need to know whom we are worshiping. We are not worshiping a prophet. We are not worshiping a teacher, although Jesus was both, but he was much more than a prophet, much more than a teacher. Jesus is God. We don't want to worship Jesus in name only. We want to make sure that we're worshiping the true Jesus that is presented in God's Word. My name, of course, is Paul Coleman. But I'm not the only person on the planet with the name Paul Coleman. There's lots of Paul Colemans out there. If you were to Google my name, you'd see all kinds of Paul Colemans out there, and none of them would be me. There was a group several years ago, a Christian group called the Paul Coleman Trio. I don't know if any of you were familiar with the Paul Coleman Trio. But now, this is, I think, humorous, because I've been on two occasions asked if I was the Paul Coleman of the Paul Coleman Trio. I'm not the Paul Coleman of the Paul Coleman Trio, okay? My response was, only if I can get two other guys to sing with me, then I'll be the Paul Coleman Trio. But I'm not that one, okay? So people who know me, they can say, I know Paul Coleman, but they're not going to get into the concert for free. Because I'm not that Paul Coleman, I'm just this Paul Coleman, right? We're different people. That Paul Coleman that makes records and this Paul Coleman who is standing before you today. We're different people. There are different versions of Jesus that are put forward in our world today. There are some that claim that Jesus is just a prophet. There are some that claim that Jesus was a great teacher. There are some that will even say that Jesus is the Son of God, but they will come short of saying that Jesus is God. But the Bible is very clear. He is. That's important to know. We don't worship a mere mortal. And we don't worship a secondary deity. We worship the one true living God. Well, secondly, Jesus' birth is important because Jesus is the Savior. Not only is He God, but He's the Savior. And that's presented here very clearly in our passage this morning. In verse 21, once again, the angel speaking to Joseph tells him, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the word that Jesus here in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which means literally Savior. From the get-go, we are told that Jesus is the Savior. His name means Savior. That's what he came to do, is to be the Savior. Bring forth the Son, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, notice that he came to save us from something. To be saved, you have to be in some kind of danger, right? If you're not in any danger, you don't need to be saved from anything. You're okay. But the fact is that we were in danger from sin. Sin is a danger. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's trouble. That's bad trouble. But Jesus came to rescue us from sin. From death. That's what he came to do. I'd say that's important, wouldn't you? I'm glad somebody said amen for that. That is very important. That to save us from our sins. Unfortunately, we all have sinned. No matter how good we are or how good our intentions are, we all have fallen short of God's standard in some way. I have. Everybody has. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. It is the just penalty for high treason against the King of the universe. But God, even though he is just and holy and must punish sin, he also is loving and gracious and does not want us to be punished. So therefore, he came as Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins, so that we could avoid the punishment which we otherwise would receive. Because although the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it also says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So although we deserve death for our sin, God offers us a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, the only one who was ever perfect, the only one who could pay the sacrifice for our sins, who could pay the death penalty that we deserved, he did just that. When he went to the cross, he died. He took the penalty that we deserved so that we don't have to take that penalty. So that we can have eternal life. And then he rose from the dead to prove that he can indeed offer eternal life and that he indeed was who he said he was. Jesus, the Savior. Imagine if you owe a debt that you cannot pay to some company, some large company somewhere. And imagine also that the CEO of the company, the man in charge, takes his own money and pays off your debt. Slate wiped clean. No more debt. Paid in full. That's what Jesus did for us. Our sin was a debt we could not pay. Jesus came along and paid it. Paid in full. On the cross, he said, it is finished. It's done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Done. Our salvation was settled at the cross. And everyone who puts their faith in Christ, trust in him, will have eternal life. Not because of anything that we've done, because we couldn't do anything to get it. But because of what Jesus has already done. He's paid the price for us. All we have to do is trust him and receive it. Eternal life. Now that's a gift worth talking about, isn't it? We talk about a lot of gifts at Christmas time. Oh, I got this or I got that, and that's great. That's wonderful. But that's the best gift right there, eternal life. You can't get any better than that. And Jesus gave us that. Third, Jesus' birth is important because Jesus came to be with us. Look once again in verse 23. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And sometimes we kind of look over that really quickly, but let that sink in for a minute. God wants to be with us. God wants to be with you. God wants to be with me. He cares about us. He's not just sitting up on a cloud waiting to see how everything's going to turn out. He wants to be with us. He wants to have an ongoing relationship with you and with me. That's significant. That's life-changing. God with us. And the Bible goes a little further. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that for a minute. If God's in your corner, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody can stand against him. Paul went on to say in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. He loves us that much, and he came to be with us. It's good news, is it not? Amen, it's good news. That's the greatest gift of all. God with us. He is with us when things are good. He's with us when things are bad. He's with us when things are going right. He's with us when things are going wrong. He's with us when we're healthy. He's with us when we're sick. He's with us when we're married or if we're divorced. He's with us when we're rich, when we're broke, when we have a good job, or when we're unemployed. It does not matter what goes on in your life. God came to be with you, not with your circumstances. And God came to walk with you through your circumstances. A lot of us have experienced good things, bad things. Good things come to everybody. Bad things come to everybody. And sometimes we are tempted to think that God has abandoned us when the bad things come. That's not true. He came to be with us, and He does not leave us, and He does not forsake us. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, we're told very clearly that He will never leave us nor forsake us. When He comes into your life, He stays. You might be forsaken by a lot of people in a lot of places, but you will not be forsaken by Jesus. I thought somebody would say amen about that. He will never leave us nor forsake us. There's a song written by Michael Card. He's the same one that wrote the song El Shaddai. But this song that I'm going to refer to is called Emmanuel, just like the name we saw in the passage. And the words of the song go like this. A sign shall be given. A virgin will conceive. A human baby bearing undiminished deity. The glory of the nations. A light for all to see. And hope for all who will embrace His warm reality. Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who can stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. Is He with you this morning? Do you know Him? Has there ever been a time in your life when you have personally come in contact with Jesus? When you have confessed your sins to Him and asked Him to come into your heart and take control of your life? It might not have been with those words, but that the meaning is still there. Has there ever been a time when He came to be with you and began a relationship with you? If not, then settle it this morning. Before you leave today, make sure that you know Him and that He is with you. He'll be a friend that'll never leave you, never forsake you. He'll take you through this life and on into the next. Jesus, the Savior, Emmanuel. Let's pray. This morning, as we're bowing our heads, closing our eyes, just take a little moment to pray. And if there is someone here today who has never received Jesus as their Savior, there's never been a time in your life when you repented of your sins and gave your life over to Jesus, I invite you to do so this morning. You don't have to say anything out loud. God can hear your thoughts. But just say a little prayer, just between you and God. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins. And make a promise to follow Him from this day forward. That's why He came, to save you from your sins and to be with you. Perhaps there's someone here today that you've known Jesus for a long time. And you were saved a long time ago. But perhaps there's something that's crept back in your life that you know is not pleasing to God. And I would invite you in just to say a little prayer. Ask Him to forgive you for that and cleanse you for that. You know, God allows U-turns and He allows fresh starts. So do that this morning. Perhaps there's someone today who you have just felt like you've been abandoned. You haven't been abandoned. God loves you and God cares for you. And so maybe today you just need to renew your relationship with God. Invite Him once again to take control of your life. Maybe there's something else on your heart today. Something I haven't even spoken about, but God's been dealing with you about it. Take a moment to pray about that. Just you and God, just now. Dear God, we're so thankful for the many promises that you have given us in your word. We are thankful for Jesus who came to this world to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven, to take the punishment that we deserved so that we could have eternal life. We are thankful that you go with us day in and day out, good and bad. Whatever may befall us, you are there to help us. You are there to encourage us. We are so thankful. And Lord, I pray in this moment, in this invitation time, as the music plays, as the song is sung, that if there's someone who needs to come and to make a decision for you this morning, maybe someone has just prayed to receive Christ and they need to get baptized, that they would come forward and let us know and we could schedule baptism when Brother Dallas returns. Maybe there's someone here who just needs to come and pray about something this morning. I just pray that they would pray and settle whatever it is in their heart this morning. Maybe there's someone here who is visiting and would like to make this their church home. And so, Lord, I just pray they would come forward and we would begin that process and they would be welcomed into our fellowship as a member. Whatever you're laying on our hearts and minds this morning, I pray that we will respond. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song. And if the Lord has put something on your heart, come forward for baptism. Come forward for church membership. Come forward just to pray. Whatever God is speaking to you about, you come as we sing.